Well, back in 1981, an unlikely movie entitled Chariots of Fire was awarded Best Picture at the annual Academy Awards. And it tells the story of Eric Liddell. I'm not sure if it's Liddell or Little. I'm not quite sure of that. But anyway, Eric Liddell, who was on the track team for Great Britain at the 1924 Olympic Games in Paris. That's a picture of the real Eric Liddell. And he was assigned to run in a heat of the 100-meter dash on a Sunday. And Liddell took something more seriously than competitive running, his relationship with God. He believed, as did many other conservative Christians in his day and age, that to compete athletically on a Sunday was a violation of one of the Ten Commandments, the one that commands us to keep the Sabbath day holy. And he didn't believe that he could compete on a Sunday and obey God at the same time. And all efforts to persuade Liddell failed. Even an appeal from the Prince of Wales, heir to the British throne. And there's a great segment in the movie where a British official finally said in frustration, "What a pity we couldn't have persuaded him to run." And after a moment's pause, his coach responded, "It would have been a pity if we had, because we would have separated him from the source of his speed." I want to talk to you today about obedience. The definition our church has adopted for a disciple is contained in an acronym that we refer to as ROPES. And following Jesus is all about learning the ROPES. And from time to time, we zero in on one of these five aspects of what it means to follow Jesus as his disciple. It's just our definition. There are many other wonderful definitions of discipleship. This just happens to be the one that our church buys into. The R in ROPES is for relationships. And we become more like Jesus when we pursue intentionally a vertical relationship with God and also a horizontal relationship with others who want to be his disciples. The O is for obedience, that aspect of discipleship that we're going to talk about today. The P is for prayer, learning how to connect with God meaningfully in and through prayer. E is for evangelism. Because Jesus had a heart for spiritually lost people, you and I need to have a heart for spiritually lost people. We need to intentionally look for ways to develop relationships with lost people and look for opportunities to have faith conversations with them. And then the S stands for Scripture. We want to find new and meaningful ways to apply the Bible to our everyday lives. So here's the question that we're going to try to answer today. Does obeying God matter? Does obeying God really matter? Well, it did to Eric Liddell, even if his understanding of keeping the Sabbath day holy seems a little odd or a little quaint to us almost 100 years later. You know, we consider ourselves conservative Christians. If it's probably likelihood that we would have agreed with Eric Liddell 100 years ago. That was kind of the mentality back then. Anyway, the Bible makes an important connection between obeying God and having a relationship with God. And what's interesting is that not many Americans really agree with that viewpoint. How so? Most Americans think that what matters is simply believing in a divine being of some kind, and really any old God will do. It doesn't really matter if it's the true God or not. God's job is, whoever God is to create us and to forgive us of our sins along the way and then prepare heaven for those of us who have tried really hard to be good in this life. And yes, God might have his standards, he might have his laws, but he doesn't honestly expect us to obey them. I mean, that's kind of ridiculous to even think that, isn't it? And sadly, many American Christians are more in tune with our culture than we are with God and His Word. And so many American Christians think that knowing God begins and ends with a spiritual act or decision at some point in life. We come forward at the end of a service. We pray a prayer to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. We get baptized. We join the church as members. And the necessity of ongoing spiritual transformation just sounds a little odd to us, or legalistic, or just flat out undesirable. I mean, who wants to actually change? And that old-fashioned word for what we're talking about today is discipleship. Believing in Jesus and what He's done for us, to be sure, but also entering into a process where we gradually, over our lives, get conformed and transformed into someone who begins to resemble Jesus in our attitudes, in our lifestyle, and how we approach life. Now, don't get me wrong. We certainly believe around here that it's very important to make a conscious and a personal decision to make Jesus the Lord and the Savior of your life. But we also believe the reality of that decision, the evidence that it's genuine, is found in our willingness to keep on obeying God in our everyday lives, in our choices, lifestyle, relationship, attitudes, for example. And the Bible makes it crystal clear that to believe in God in any meaningful way means that we obey God. And to obey God is to believe in Him. The two are always joined. You can't have one without the other. And one place where the importance of obeying God is emphasized is in the book of Psalms 100 and the 119th Psalm, which, by the way, a little bit of Bible trivia, is the longest chapter in all of the Bible. Psalm 119, it's got 176 verses, and I'm going to read them all. No, just kidding. Just seeing if you're awake this morning. I'm not going to read all those verses for you. I'm just going to read verses 33 through 40, so we get a sample, a taste of what the author of this psalm says about obeying God in the entire psalm. So if you would, turn with me in your Bible to Psalm 119 and find verse 33. And I'm going to begin reading there and read through verse 40. Find it on your tablet, on your phone, whatever you may have the Bible on. And just follow along as I read those verses. Psalm 119, beginning at verse 33. "Teach me, O Lord, to follow your decrees. Then I will keep them to the end. Give me understanding, and I will keep your law and obey it with all my heart. Direct me in the path of your commands, for there I find delight. Turn my heart toward your statutes and not toward selfish gain. Turn my eyes away from worthless things. Preserve my life according to your word. Fulfill your promise to your servant, so that you may be feared. Take away the disgrace I dread, for your laws are good. How I long for your precepts. Preserve my life in your righteousness." And even though this psalm was written hundreds of years before Jesus walked the earth, what you find there is a wonderful picture of the heart attitude and the desires of any genuine follower of Jesus. You can read a Psalm 119 and you just get a picture there of what it means to be Jesus' disciple. So this morning, I want you to observe with me four truths about obeying God which underline why obeying God matters. Here's the first one. Obeying God is possible. Obeying God is possible. Now that sounds kind of obvious, but it's not as obvious as you think. Because many people give up even before they try. It's common to think that God is just too holy and too awesome and too removed from us to be obeyed. His standards are impossible to meet. People say, look, we're only human. Why bother even trying to obey God? But the guy who wrote this psalm assumed it was possible to obey God. Listen to what he says. Teach me your decrees, O Lord. I will keep them to the end. Give me understanding, and I will obey your instructions. I will put them into practice with all my heart. So apparently, at least he believed, that obeying God is possible. Now, people who aren't followers of Jesus have little interest in obeying God or even trying to obey God. When David Letterman was hosting his late-night talk show, he would offer a tip to anyone planning to visit New York City. He would say, now, if you're planning to travel here, do yourself a favor. Check into a Times Square hotel. Take the Bible out of the nightstand there, if it hasn't already been stolen, of course. And then open it up to the Ten Commandments and go look out the window of your hotel room. On a good day, you can check the commandments off as you see them being broken. But you know, even followers of Jesus think that obeying God is next to impossible. But it is possible to obey God because God himself makes it possible for us to obey him. Yes, absolutely, we are sinful creatures. In fact, the Bible says that we have a hard time resisting sin because there's just that sinful nature inside of us that frankly enjoys sinful actions and attitudes. So let's be honest about it. The only reason that you and I can ever say, I'm going to stop doing this or that, or I'm going to start doing this or that because I want to obey God, the only reason that any of us can ever say that or do that is because God has already said, I will empower you. I will help you to do this or that. Or to start doing, or to stop doing this or that. And again, the author of Psalm 119 assumes this truth. Look about what he says to the Lord here. He says, teach me your decrees. Give me understanding. Make me walk along the path of your commands. Give me an eagerness for your laws. He wanted to obey God, but he also recognized that he could not obey God in his own strength. He needed God's help to obey God. It's possible to obey God because God makes it possible to obey him. And we find the very same truth over in the New Testament, where we read, work hard to show the results of your salvation, obeying God with deep reverence and fear. Here it comes, watch. For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. Folks, if it wasn't possible to obey God, he wouldn't ask you and me to do it. The more you learn how to cooperate with the Holy Spirit living in you, the more you're going to find yourself obeying God with consistency. Here's a second truth about obeying God. Obeying God is volitional. What does that mean? Well, volition is another word for your will, that place in your mind and your heart from where you make choices and decisions in life. And obeying God only ever happens when you make a decision or a choice to do something that you know pleases God. God, yes, he will empower you to obey him, but he will not obey for you. He won't do it for you. You still have to choose to live in ways that honor him. And that's where your will, your volition, comes into the picture. The psalmist understood this fact very well because he says, I will delight in your decrees and not forget your word. I will, you hear the volition, I will keep on obeying your instructions forever and ever. I will hurry without delay to obey your commands. Now folks, here's an interesting fact of life. Some people consider themselves Christians, followers of Jesus, but they seem to care less about obeying God. For example, they're content to remain sexually active outside of marriage, not just once in a moment of weakness, but repeatedly. They habitually tell lies. They handle and use money with a lack of integrity. They defend their own racist attitudes. They excuse their own violent, abusive tempers. They think everyone who is poor or disadvantaged deserves to be so. They think involvement in the local church and doing life together with other followers of Jesus is optional or it's occasional. They could care less about spiritually lost people. They have absolutely no desire or inclination to point anyone at any time to Jesus. The idea of discovering your spiritual gifts and actually finding a ministry to do with excellence and regularity that builds up the kingdom of God, that's an alien concept to them. They think they're followers of Jesus, but obeying God just doesn't matter. It doesn't happen. Obeying God is very much a matter of your will, your choice, your decision. Sometimes it's a daily decision. Jesus asked a very searching question on one occasion. He said, "So why do you keep calling me Lord, Lord, when you don't do what I say?" And so being a Christian is, it's more than a one-time decision. It's more than just praying a prayer of salvation. It's more than getting baptized. It means, folks, obeying the Lord. No, obeying the Lord does not make you a Christian. Let's be clear on that. It does prove you are one. It's the evidence that you're truly a follower of Jesus. But Rick, we're going to continue to sin this side of heaven, right? Yes. God doesn't expect perfection, does he? No. But God does have every right to expect a genuine desire and a genuine effort to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. And if you have no desire to obey God, there's no effort to apply his teachings in your life, why should you consider yourself a follower of Jesus? Desire and effort reveal a whole lot. Desire and effort point to the fact that you are truly a child of God. And my friend, if there is no desire and there's no effort, that also reveals the obvious. You're not a child of God. Here's a third truth about obeying God. Obeying God is delightful. Obeying God is delightful. Garrison Keillor wrote one of the funniest books I've ever read entitled Lake Wobegon Days. It's about growing up in a small town in Minnesota. And in there he writes about having a tomato fight with his siblings. And let me read a portion of what he writes. He says, "Then I threw a tomato at my brother. We ducked down by the vines, heaving tomatoes at each other. My sister, who was a good person, said, 'You're going to get it.' She bent over and kept on picking tomatoes." What a target. She was 17, a girl with big hips, and bending over, she looked like the side of a barn. I picked up a tomato so big it sat on the ground. It looked like it had sat there for a week. The underside was brown. Small white worms lived in it. It was very juicy. I had to handle it carefully to keep from spilling it on myself. I stood up and took aim and went into the windup when my mother at the kitchen door called my name in a sharp voice. I had to decide quickly. I decided. A rotten big boy tomato hitting the target is a memorable sound. Like a fat man doing a belly flop and followed by a whoop and a yell from the tomatoee. She came after me faster than I knew she could run. She grabbed my shirt and was about to brain me when mother yelled, "Phyllis!" And my sister, who was a good person, obeyed and let me go and burst into tears. I guess she knew that the pleasure of obedience is pretty thin compared to the pleasure of hearing a rotten tomato hit someone in the rear end. Now, we laugh at that story because it's all too true, isn't it? I mean, let's face it, folks, sometimes doing what is wrong seems like a lot of fun. And doesn't the devil do an effective job of convincing us that there is always more pleasure and more joy and more delight when we disobey God than when we obey God? And in real life, folks, here's the catch. In real life, exactly the opposite is true. True, some sin can be fun for a while until it blows up in your face and you have to live with the painful consequences of it. And let's face it, we don't put those two words together very often, do we? Obedience, delightful. Obedience, delightful. No. Obedience and duty, yeah, for sure. Obedience and responsibility, absolutely. But obedience and delightful? No. But the psalmist says exactly that in Psalm 119. Make me walk along the paths of your commands, for that is where my happiness is found. How I delight in your commands. How I love them. Your laws are my treasure. They are my heart's what? Delight. So obeying God is delightful. Why? Well, it's delightful because you're fulfilling the purpose for which God created you. You and I were made to have a relationship with God. And when you and I live life in a way that's contrary to what you were designed to experience, we just get misery as the result. And the more that you delight in obeying God, the more real fulfillment in life that you're going to experience. Obeying God is delightful also because everything that God commands you to do is for your own good ultimately. God isn't out there to make you miserable. God wants to bless you. The Bible says, and the Lord our God commanded us to obey all these decrees and to fear him so he can continue to do what? Bless us and preserve our lives as he has done this day. Well, is it always delightful to obey God? Of course not. Sometimes it's very hard to do the right thing and obey God. Because we still have that old sin nature inside of us, don't we? We still want to do things, frankly, that offend God and bring pain to ourselves and others. And obeying God can certainly cut across our own wishes and desires and ambitions in life. And sometimes God will ask us to do what is inconvenient and might turn other people against us. All true. But we remember at the end of the day, it's always better to obey God than to do our own thing. It's always better to obey God than to do what other people think is the right thing to do. Obeying God demands a kind of a faith. We say, in effect, God, right now it's really hard to obey you today, but I believe in the long run, both you and I will be delighted if I just follow through and do what you want me to do. Obeying God is delightful also because it really isn't too hard to do. Again, it just goes back to our first point. Obeying God is possible. The Bible says loving God means keeping his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. Don't buy that lie that obeying God is something hard to do. Jesus said, come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. Don't think of God standing over you with a scowl ready to slap you when you mess up. He's gracious. He's compassionate beyond your imagination and mine. And he is delighted when we delight in him. This command to obey God is simply a command to be happy and enjoy God to the full and allow him then to bless you as a result of your obedience. The more that you obey God, the more you will be delighted. Well, here's the final truth, a final observation about obedience this morning. Obeying God is beneficial. It's just flat out good for you. You probably already knew that, but Scripture makes that very clear. How so? Well, obeying God provides protection in life. From what? Well, primarily from all the misery that we would bring upon ourselves when we insist on living a life in such a way that displeases God. Listen to what the psalmist said. Turn my eyes from worthless things and give me life through your word. Again, folks, some things in life may look good at first and be fun in the moment, but they can exact a horrible price ultimately. Sin damages and eventually destroys relationships, self-respect, personal integrity, even your physical health, and most importantly, your relationship with God. And the more that you set your heart to obey God, the less you sin. The less you sin, the less you suffer. I'm not saying that you don't suffer even when you're following Jesus. Of course you do. But there is a lot of suffering that you and I can avoid if we'll just stay away from sin. It's really kind of that simple. Obeying God is beneficial. It's good for you because it can renew and refresh your life. Listen to what the psalmist said. I will never forget your commands, for by them you give me life. Lord, how great is your mercy. Let me be revived by following your regulations. This side of heaven itself, the best kind of life that you and I can experience is the direct result of obeying God the best you can, day after day, month after month, year after year. Obeying God is beneficial. It's good for you because it gives stability to your life. The psalmist said, those who love your instructions have great peace and do not stumble. You know, as I look around this room today, I'm reminded that God's people, we don't have an absence of tragedy, heartache, problems, pain in life. We all experience that as God's children. But my friend, when you set your heart to obey God, you just don't fall apart. You don't give up on God. You don't get all sour and defeated by life. The Holy Spirit just keeps on empowering you and renewing you and refreshing you. You experience stability. Obeying God is beneficial. It's good for you because it provides guidance to your life. The psalmist wrote a verse many of us are very familiar with, Psalm 119, verse 105. Your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. So you want to make good decisions and choices as you move through your life? Great. His guidance, folks, is given to those who obey him. God never promises to guide you if you're going to be disobedient. It's only to those who obey him that he gives guidance. And wisdom emerges from an obedient relationship with God each and every day. When you keep on doing the right things in the right way long enough, God most certainly guides us in wonderful ways. And then obeying God is beneficial. It's good for you because it results in real freedom in life. Consider what the psalmist learned. I will walk in freedom, for I have devoted myself to your commandments. You know, again, folks, we love being born in a free country, but nobody is really born free. Nobody is. I mean, we're all slaves to our own sinful nature. That's what the Bible teaches. We start out life that way. But when you become a follower of Jesus, that dictatorial power of sin is finally broken. And you're free now to choose to obey God and become what he intends for you to be. Spiritual freedom in this life is kind of a progressive and a gradual thing. The more that we obey God in our everyday lives, the more liberated we become from all those attitudes and behaviors that have imprisoned us for so long and made life, frankly, miserable for us. Obeying God is beneficial. It's good for you and it's good for me because it protects, it renews and refreshes, it gives stability, it provides guidance, it results in true and lasting freedom. Anne Graham Lotz, the oldest daughter of Billy Graham, occasionally will go to football games with her husband at his alma mater, University of North Carolina. And on game days, they'll get there to the stadium, and there, of course, there's thousands of people all over the parking lots and in the stadium. Sounds like what Ohio Stadium's gonna be like in a few weeks, yes? Just milling about. And maybe you've had this experience. You can find it hard to know where you're going because of the crush of people. And Anne Graham Lotz has talked about that. Well, fortunately, she has a solution for her problem and her situation. Her husband, Denny, is 6'7" tall. So he can literally see over everybody. So he just grabs her hand, and they start walking from the car, and she just holds on to him until they get all the way to their seats in the stadium. She just says, I just put my hand in his, and I follow him as closely as I can from the parking lot right to my seats in the stadium. And as she was thinking about that, she realized that following the Lord and obeying the Lord was really pretty much the same thing. It's putting our hand in the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ and just following him day by day, moment by moment. And she said, I hope that when I get to the end of my life, I can look back and know that I have fulfilled God's plan for my life. Don't make obeying God something more difficult than it needs to be. Don't make it more complicated than it needs to be. Put your hand in the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ, and each day follow him, do what he says, follow his instructions, make it your heart, make it your intent to obey him in every way, because obeying God matters. It is possible. It is something that you and I need to do, part of our volition. It is delightful. And at the end of the day, it's beneficial. It's good for you and me. And that, my friends, is why obeying God really matters. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for just a reminder from your word today about how important it is to obey you. Lord, this is one of those things where probably everybody in this room would say, yeah, obeying God is important. But Lord, sometimes we just forget that in the everydayness of life. And Lord, just we just reflect again today that obeying you is something that is very important to you. It matters to you. If there is a desire in our hearts to follow you, if there is the intent and the effort on our part to follow you. Lord, we recognize today that's not why we're going to go to heaven. We don't go to heaven because we obey you. We go to heaven because of your grace and the faith that we have put in your gracious act of sending Jesus into this world. But by the same token, Lord, if we're going to be a disciple of Jesus, if we're going to follow Jesus, then obedience is a big part of what that looks like. And Father, help us just to realize that it's possible, that it's delightful, that it's beneficial, and receive it and enter into it with a heart of praise and thanksgiving for the privilege that we have to have our lives transformed through your Holy Spirit each and every day. We thank and we honor you in the name of Jesus. Amen.